Okay, shalom everybody. Welcome. I'd like to thank everyone who has joined and will join in the next few minutes. I know it's a busy time, but still I have to find time to learn here for the Chag. So before I begin, this year is sponsored today, L'Zeirucha Nishmas, my grandfather-in-law, Binyamin Chaim and Moshe Yehuda Genauer, that many people knew. As a matter of fact, I'm quite impressed of all the people that I bump into that actually knew him. And I'll say a word about him in the beginning and a word at the end, and the rest of the time will be share of the Torah, which is what he would tell me to do. The truth is, it's quite apropos that it's his Yahrzeit tonight here in Eretz Yisrael, and it's quite apropos that I'm giving a share about Pesach, because in general, he always used to come here Shabbos HaGadol and Shabbos Shuvah. Just wanted to come because I would speak in my shul, give a drasha, Shabbos Gadol, Shabbos Shuvah, and Ivrit, and he always came. The only time I believe he did not come was was when Shabbos Shuvah was Rosh Hashanah was a 3-day Yom Tov. So because he wasn't here for Rosh Hashanah, he wouldn't come. Otherwise, he used to always come to hear my shir. It made me feel very good that he would always come out here for Shabbos to hear my shir. So that's one point. So it's quite apropos that I'm not speaking about the Shabbos HaGadol, but I'm speaking about a Pesach topic, which he'd always come to hear. Second point I want to mention, I was thinking about it this morning, you know, at the age of 57, you know, there are a number of people that I've been close to that I've lost. And, you know, you live in Eretz Israel and there are not that many people that are part of your everyday life. But from the time I moved to Eretz Israel, my Zeta Ben Ganar, Zeta we used to call him, Zeta Yerushalayim, was really very much part of my life, my wife's life, my children's life. You know, whenever he had a chance, he would come here. And I still remember when the time I moved to Eretz Israel and I was teaching in the Old City, so he would come out almost every week to learn with me, of course, take me out to eat. He always knew what I wanted to order at Bonkers Bagels. At that point in my life, he always knew. He said, I'll buy you a tuna melt. He always knew, and then we'd learn. And then when the yeshiva I taught at Reishit moved to Beit Shemesh, it was a little difficult for him because it wasn't so easy to come out and learn with me. But he was always very much part of everyone's life. And in a certain sense, it taught me, you know, how serious life is, because, you know, I was thinking about it today that, you know, we've all, Baruch Hashem, moved on. We want us to move on. But at the time when he was alive, he was really a very, very, very important part of the life of his whole family and anyone else who really knew him. But certainly I felt like when he passed away, it really affected me in a very, very strong way. So I'm giving the shiur on the topic of Hallel and the Beit Knesset that we say on Pesach night, Hallel and Shul. Now, I just want to mention that there is the big machlokas, and this came up last year, when the Hallel and the Shul that said, should a person say it v'yechidus? And you can see at the end of the Daf Mekoros, which I'll share with you in a moment, the Ritva certainly feels you should say it v'yechidus. I last year followed, I would call it actually my Masorah. This is the Pesach of Rav Schechter from YU also, that you should not say the Hallel and the Shul b'yechidus if you're by yourself. Now, why do I say that it's part of my Masorah? Because the truth is, I've always davened the Minyan on Pesach night. I just remember many years ago, I was a teenager, or maybe I was 19, 20, and for some reason, the second night of Pesach, There was no minyan in my father's yeshiva. Minyan didn't show up. Maybe it was Motzei Shabbos, and it was very late, and people wanted to daven in the shuls a little bit earlier, and there was no minyan. And myself and my brothers went home, and we got home. My father said, oh, there's no minyan. Okay, daven in the living room, but don't say hallel, because we were davening b'yechidus. So again, there definitely is a machlokas about this. Birkei Yosef holds you should say it b'yechidus, and there are other poskim. I'm going to be focused mainly on those shitos that say that you should not say it b'yechidus, and from Hadron and from Rishonim. And even if you feel that it should be said b'yechidus, you certainly can learn a lot about the Hallel of Pesach Night in the Shul from the other shitos. So I would just begin with just pointing that out, that again, even if you might have said Hallel last year b'yechidus, it doesn't mean that the lumdus, the svara in this year, is not applicable to everybody. So one of the major questions about how do we say in the shul on Pesach night is that it's not mentioned in the Bavli. As a matter of fact, if you go ahead and you look at source, let me share the source sheet with you. Sorry, hold on a second. If you go ahead and you look at source number nine, source number nine, it's the Gemara. It's the Gemara. The rest of them will go in order. Source number nine, the Gemara in Erechin. So it mentions when you say Hala. All right, the Amar Rabbi Yochanan Mishum Hashem Ben Yotzadok Shmona Asur Yomim for 18 days. Shayachid Gol Menes Hala, that the Yachid finishes Hallel. Shmoni Meyachag, the 8 days of Sukkot, Shmoni Shmini Atzeres, Shmoni Mechanukah, the 8 days of Chanukah, Yom Tov Shel Pesach, and the first day of Pesach, we say the whole Hallel, the Yom Tov Shel Atzeres, and of course Shavuos. Now, obviously, the reason why we're not mentioning the second day of Pesach, the second day of Shavuos, or Simchas Torah, is because it's talking at this point about the Bnei Eretz Yisrael, who only keep one day, do not keep 2 days. However, I think one of the questions that sticks out at us is, why doesn't the Bavli mention the idea of saying Hallel on Pesach night in Shul? It's not really mentioned. And the truth is that Hallel we say on the Gard is not mentioned either, but that's obviously a different type of Hallel. So that's a question that we showed him deal with, why it's not mentioned. And however, even though it's not mentioned in the Bavli, the Talmud Bavli, the Hallel we say Pesach night in Shul is definitely mentioned in other sources. So I'd like to start with source number one, the Maseches Sofrim. And we have to learn the Maseches Sofrim. There are a few questions we can ask in the Maseches Sofrim. So the Maseches Sofrim, just to explain what Maseches Sofrim is, Maseches Sofrim is one of the Maseches Ketanas, as you see. It was probably written after the time of Amoraim of Chazal. It seems the Masorah was, no one knows for sure, it was written in the time of the Gaonim. The Rush points out that if there's a Machlokas between Yerushalmi and the Maseches Sofrim, we follow the Maseches Sofrim, and there are a lot of things mentioned in the Maseches Sofrim that are not really mentioned in the Bavli or the Yerushalmi, and it could be very simply because the Yerushalmi and the Bavli did not write everything down, because certain things were, just assumed and we knew about. So let's say, for example, the idea of reading the Megillot, we read the Megillot on the Moadim, that is something which is mentioned in the Maseches Sofrim, it's not mentioned in the Bavli. So the Maseches Sofrim in source number one, Perek Chav says like this. And when you say Hallel, Tzorach Levarach B'Tchiloso, you have to go ahead and you have to make a bracha at the beginning of Hallel. Bilkrosu B'Ni'ima, and you should read it pleasantly. It doesn't mean that you have to sing it B'Ni'ima. It should be said in a very pleasant way. I would just mention that not every song necessarily has a tune. My father used to always quote the Baal Tanya, that there are three different types of tune: a tune with words, a tune without words, and a tune without a tune. And as a member, I think back to the Seder of my youth. My father would say all of Nirtza, and I say the word, he would say it, he wouldn't sing it. And I understand that that was the minute at some place Lithuania. So Lakrosu B'Ni'ima means to say it pleasantly. The Tanya Rabbi Shimon Ben Yitzchak Omer, Shimona Asur Laila B'Laila Echad. So here you see the Maseches Sofrim mentions one night. So there are 18 days and one night. Yochid Gor Mesahal, the Yochid finishes Hallel, says Hallel. The Eluhein, what are they? Shimonim Mechanukah, the 8 days of Chanukah, Shimonim Mechag, the 8 days of Sukkot, the Yom Tov Shel Atzeres, Shavuos, the Yom Tov Shel Pesach, and Yom Tov Shel Pesach, the Leila when it's night. Uvagolan, the Galut, in exile, where you keep 2 days of Yom Tov, Echad Mesrim Yom, Mishnei Leilos, 21 days and 2 nights. And then the Maseches Sofrim points out, and this is very, it's fascinating, that he just mentioned that one of the nights we say Hallel, one time we say Hallel is Pesach night. So then Maseches Sofrim qualifies it. And it doesn't say it's a chiyuv to say Hallel, it says U'mitzvah min ha-mufchar. It's a mitzvah min ha-mufchar likro es ha-Hallel, to go ahead and to say the Hallel. The Shnei Leilo Shel Golias. So after mentioning in the first part of Maseches Sofrim that the one night is included in the 18 days, the Maseches Sofrim goes on and says it's a mitzvah min ha-mufchar. So we have to understand, what do you mean by the idea it's a mitzvah min ha-mufchar? So we'll come back at the end of the shir, what we mean by the idea of mitzvah min ha-mufchar. And he goes on again, the levarech aleihem, to make a bracha. And then he says, la'omran b'ni'imon, and not likroso, to read it, but la omron, to say it b'ni'ima. So the Masechus Sofim changes the expression from the beginning when he's talking in general, but all the time we say hallel, the Pesach night, where he says la omron b'ni'ima, l'kayim mashenemar, to fulfill, u'nerom mashmo yachdav, to lift up God's name together. So in other words, so it seems that the hallel Pesach night is a different kiyum. So we add on the idea that Pesach night, it's also because so we have to understand that together, to lift up God's name together. And we recite in the house, you don't have to go ahead and make a bracha, because we already went ahead and we said the bracha berabim in the shul itself. So again, the Masechus Sofrim is saying the reason why we don't make a bracha on the Hallel and the Haggadah is because he already made a bracha in Mishul. All right, so again, to remember from Masechus Sofrim number one, we see that the idea is to say it's a mitzvah of a mukhar, and to say it as opposed to being a chiyuv, but it was assumed everyone said it in Mishul. And the second point is that there's a special kiyum, u'ramo mishmo yachtav, so we have to understand that. The Masechus Sofrim is not the only place where this halakha is mentioned. There's a Tosefta Masechus Sukkah, Perakim Olachabez, it's in source number two, Shmona Asri Yom Bashana Belaila Echad, 18 days in the year, and one night, Karmes Ahalel, and it goes on, Ve'elu Hein Shmona Simei Achag, Ushmona Simei Chanukah, V'yomtev Rishon Shepesach, V'leilo V'yomtev Shalat Tzeres. And if you look at source number three, the Talmud Yerushalmi basically quotes the Sefta, and it quotes the Sefta. Now I'll just go on. The Sefta did not mention over here in source number two. It says Leilo, I'm sorry. And if you look at source number three, Yerushalmi basically says the same idea as the Sefta, changing the order a little bit. At the end, it says Yom Tam Rishon Shapesach Leilo. All right. So then, the Meforshim of Yerushalmi asked the question, what is this Hallel that we say Pesach night that Yerushalmi is referring to? So the Korban Aedah, source number four, points out that this Hallel that we say is talking about the Hallel Be'esach Chilas HaPesach. At the time the Aedah were in Pesach, he says, and it's not mentioning the Hallel they made, they said, when they were in the Beis HaMikdash, when they were B'mach the Korban Pesach. So that's the Korban Eidah. However, the Pnei Moshe basically assumes that the Hallel that we're speaking about in source number three at night is the Hallel that we say in the Shul. In source number five, the Pnei Moshe says, what are the Shimon Asher Yom V'layla Echad? Achar Akvila Beisach Neses V'gomronosa, and you finish the Hallel there. Okay, so we saw basically in Masechus Sofrim, the Tosefta, the Yerushalmi Masechus Sukkah, and there's one other place where the Yerushalmi mentions Hallel Pesach night. And this comes up in source number six. In source number six in Masechus Brachos Perek Aleph, the Yerushalmi is discussing the halacha of bracha smucha lechaverta. So in other words, we know whenever you make a bracha, you're supposed to start the bracha, the word baruch. And that's why many of the brachas we make start with a baruch at the beginning. However, there are exceptions to the rule. Many exceptions. There are a lot of brachas that we make that do not start with a baruch. For example, when we daven Shmoneh Esrei, so the first bracha starts with a baruch, and the rest, Ata Gibor, Ata Kadosh, Ata Chonein, Baruch Aleinu, do not start with the word baruch. Why not? The Yerushalmi says, as the Bavli, because if it's a bracha next to another bracha, so a bracha which comes after another bracha, you don't have to start the second bracha with a baruch, because the baruch of the first bracha really fills that role. So the Yerushalmi says in source number six, Elu brachos sheposchem b'baruch. These are the brachos that you start with baruch. Kol ha-brachos poschem b'hem b'baruch. All the brachos you start with baruch. V'imhoisa bracha smuch l'haberta. And if it's a bracha which is juxtaposed next to another bracha, you can go Kriya Shema or Tefillah, as I mentioned, Tefillah, or Kriya Shema Abba Rabba does not start with baruch. Aim post and baruch does not begin with the word baruch. So Yerushalmi asked the question why. So it seems that in the days of Yerushalmi, there were certain minhagim that when they would say the Hallel at the Seder, they would go ahead and they would make a bracha before the hallel of the Seder. Very different than us today, where they wouldn't go ahead and make a bracha. We don't make a bracha before the hallel of the Seder. So therefore, if you make a bracha at the beginning of the hallel of the Seder, how is it that the bracha of Ashir Ga'olanu, we start with a baruch? It should be a bracha next to another bracha. Say, Hisiv Rabbi Yirmiya Hare Geula, the bracha of Gaul Yisrael, which we say at the Seder, so it should not start with a baruch because it's after the bracha on Hallel. So the Gemara says, so if you look at beginning source number 7, and then I'll come back to 6, the Pnei Moshe points out the bracha of Ashir Ga'olanu that we say at the end of Hallel, before the second coast, Samael Pesach, is next to the bracha on Hallel. So why does the bracha of Ashir Ga'olanu start with a baruch? So the Yerushalmi says at the very end of source number 6, Shanyahi Hallel is different. Why? Because there were people who did not make a bracha on Hallel at the Seder. Why? Because they already heard Hallel on the Beit Knesset. So the Pnei Moshe explains that since there were people like the Svar de Mar Noe, we'll come back to that in a few minutes, that after Myriv, they say Hallel Mishul. So since they were ready Yotze, the bracha of Hallel, they don't make a bracha anymore at the Seder. So since there were people who did not make a bracha at Hallel at the Seder, Ashir Kishan Tavit Sivosa, for them, the bracha of Ashir Golanu is not next to another bracha. So therefore, it starts with the word baruch. Fine. So we see the Yerushalmi also implies that there was a this Yerushalmi too. There was a hallel that was said in the Beit Knesset. And what I want to do is I would like to understand. You know, we actually here in Israel, almost everyone says it. I'd like to understand why it is that we go ahead and we say what was the original reason for saying this hallel in the Beit Knesset. So one possibility is the Tosefta. So first of all, before we go to Tosefta, I want to mention number one, the Chok Yaakov. So Chok Yaakov is source number 11. I don't want to spend too much time on the Chok Yaakov, but the Chok Yaakov in source number 11 says that what's the reason? He says the reason why. So first let's look at the Shulchan Aruch. I'm sorry, source number 10. So Bilel Rishon Shel Pesach, on the first night of Pesach, Gomer na Hallel, we say the whole Hallel, but Sibur, Beni'im in a very pleasant way, V'bracha v'tchila b'sof, V'bracha beginning to end, in the shul, V'chen, and for those living in Chutz Laretz, V'chen b'lel sheni shal shnei yom tovim shal golius, and also for those who are living, and the second night, for those who live in Chutz Laretz, they would say Hallel with a bracha on the first two nights of Pesach. That is the Shita of the Mahaber, like the Yerushalmi, like the Masech HaSofrim, like the Tosefta. He says, but Ramah says, V'chol ze en eno enogin kein, we are not knowing this way, ki ein omrim v'layla v'vestak neses halal klal. Ramah says, we don't say halal in the shul at all. I would just point out, not necessarily connected to the shir, that it's fascinating that Reb Chaim, my great-grandfather, and when Pesach night, he would go ahead and he would stay at home because, as you see, and we'll explain a little bit later in the shir, he felt the whole halacha of Hallel was halacha to say a bit sibur. So he didn't want to get involved in the machlokas, so he would stay at home, but he would send his sons to shul to go ahead and to say Hallel. Revelvel, the briskerah, well, he didn't want to say Hallel, and it's brought down that he would start talking to Simcha Zelig. As soon as they started saying Hallel outside the shul, he'd say Hallel. And by the time they finish the discussion, Hallel will be over. My impression is that my grandfather, Rav Moshe, did say Hallel. When Rav Moshe, my grandfather, had his own family, he would send his boys, my father, I think Rav Yashabir, and I think also Rav Shmuel, my other uncle, to Shul to say Hallel. And I can't tell you for sure what Rav Yashabir did if my father said Hallel. I guess the next generation, my father, he actually went to shul, even as he had his own family, he went to shul on Pesach night and said Hallel on shul. He said about a bracha, but he said Hallel on shul. So I mentioned the story at the beginning that I was in shul, my father wasn't. That was after he had his stroke. So therefore, he didn't go to shul at night, Yom Tov night, but he used to go to shul and say Hallel about a bracha to follow the Mechaber on some level. But the Ramah says, you know, we don't go ahead and we don't say Hallel on the shul. Obviously, it's not mentioned in the Babli. It
could be it's a machlokes, the babbling and the Yerushalmi, or as the Bir Hagros says in source number 12, no. He says the reason, so if you go ahead and you look at source number 8, the Bir Hagro explains what was the reason, the original reason for this takana to go ahead and to say halal on the shul. So if you look at source number 8, the Tosefta says, "B'nei Yair she'en la mishikar zahalo." People who don't know how to read halo, holchin lebeit hakneses, they would go to the shul, the korim perik rishon, and then they didn't have anyone to read halo for them in the at home, so they go to shul, read the first perik of halo according to that shita, then they would go home, eat the suda, and then they would come back and finish halo in the shul. So we see, and then being Ashulahan, and if it was very hard for them in the middle of the Seder to pick up and go to shul, they would read the whole Hallel before they went to the Seder at home in the shul. So the Bir Hagro points out that's probably the reason for the Takana. The reason Takana to say Hallel in the shul was for those who couldn't say Hallel at home, those who are not Bucky, did not know say Hallel. So the Bir Hagro says that's the reason why there was a Takana to say Hallel in the shul, because for those who did not know how to go ahead and to say hello. And therefore, since today, and that's why the Machaber says, we still say the hello today, even though everyone is a bucky. And Rama says that since today, everyone knows how to say hello, there's no reason to go ahead and to say hello and shul. That's the Machlokes, the Machaber and Ma, according to the Bir Hagro. So according to the Bir Hagro, at least in this Simit, Sim Tepe Zayin, the reason for this Takana is in order the motzi, those people who were not able to say halal at home. However, if you look at source number 11, the Chak Yaakov gives a different reason. And he says, what's the reason? So we don't. If you look at the end of the first line of source number 11, Lefi she'ein v'borchim kodim mahalo shekorn v'shas hagadah. We're not supposed to say a bracha before the halal, you read the time of the hagadah. So for this reason, we read the halal of the shul in order that you shouldn't have to make a bracha during the reading of the Haggadah. So the question is, if you're not supposed to say a bracha, so why do we have to go ahead and go to shul to hear a bracha? So I think we can explain the pshat and the Chak Yaakov is like this. The Pesach night, there's a halacha, we have to feel like we're leaving Mitzrayim, as the Rav Haigon says. And therefore, when you say halal, the Zman Hanes, the time of the miracle, so you don't make a bracha. In other words, when you say halal, the time of a miracle that you feel, I have to say halal right now. There's really no time for a bracha. It's just some kind of inner feeling. So therefore, for that reason, they didn't want to say a bracha on the halal Pesach night because they wanted to make it seem like the miracle was happening right now. So they wouldn't say a bracha. But the problem is, we know in reality, at least according to the Chak Yaakov and others, the miracle is not happening right now. We might have to act that way. So in order to give that feeling like the miracle is happening right now, we didn't make a bracha. But still there's a problem. You can't do a mitzvah without a bracha beforehand. So they said the halal and the Beit Knesset. The bracha and the Beit Knesset and the halal and the Beit Knesset. And they were yotzei the bracha. And then when they came home, they were able really to act like they were actually bizman hanes, the miracle is happening then, and say halal about a bracha, and there wouldn't be any halachic issues with that. That's shot in the Chak Yaakov. Okay, that was just a side point. However, that doesn't seem to be the only reason why we go ahead and we say halal on the shul Pesach night. So one reason, as we mentioned, and Shonen mentioned this, is the Ramban mentions it, based on the Tosefta, and what the Gross says is in order to be motzi people who cannot say halal at home, they're misakin, they say halal on the shul. But if you look at source number 13, I think source number 13 is a very, very important halacha. Source number 13, it goes like this. Source number 13, so it says that the Bir Hagro in Simon Tufresh Ayin Aleph. Simon Tufresh Ayin Aleph is actually in Hilchas Chanukah. Why is it mentioned in Hilchas Chanukah? Because as I mentioned, the idea of saying halal on the shul on a certain level is very strange because it's not mentioned in the Talmud Bavli. It is mentioned in the Talmud Yerushalmi, Tosefta, Masechta Sofrim. On Hanukkah, we also do something which is somewhat strange. We light the menorah in the Beit Knesset, even though that's not mentioned in the Bavli either. So the Gra is connecting the two minhagim that are done in the Beit Knesset that are not mentioned in the Bavli. At source number 13, the Gra points out that he brings a raya from, he says, so why is it? So he says, so is the presuming nisa that we do, when we light the menorah, So it's a very limiting presuming nisa. So, and therefore we want to make the presuming nisa Hanukkah more expansive. And therefore it's nice to go ahead and do it in the shul. There are more people. And the Bir Agra says in source number 13, and where does such a thing come up? So Raya Mehal B'lo Pesachim, the Yerushalmi mentioned saying Hallel and Shul Pesach night, the Bavli Sheniskan Alakos, it was enacted to say Alakos at the Seder, and even so, the Omer Pesach Knesset, we say in the Pesach Knesset, Mishum Persumi Nisa, because Persumi Nisa. As the Yerushalmi says, but in regard to, as he mentioned, the Brachim L'Chaverta, he says that we say the Hallel in the Shul, even though really it's supposed to be, it's really supposed to be mentioned alakos in the supposed to mention alakos during the Seder. So the Hallel in the Shul is the Hallel in the Shul is according to the Gra is done for Persumi Nisa. What does it mean it's done for Persumi Nisa? So when we sit down to our Seder and everyone should have a very beautiful Seder, we're all in our houses and it's even less than Hanukkah because you're with your family. And really nobody, really no one besides the family that's there really understands and knows that you're saying hello. So in order to make the Pesume Nisa more expansive and to bring everyone into it, the Vilna Gaon says it was a hakana to go ahead and to say the hallel on the shul where everyone is able to go ahead and say the hallel together. So now, and that's the reason for the hakana. So now if we go back to the Masechta Sofrin, which I'd like to do right now. I'll just go back to source number one for a second. I think now we can understand source number one. Because in source number one, we saw that the Masechta Sofrin, the Masechta Ketanos, number one, we said, first of all, he calls it, and if you look in the third line, after mentioning Hallel Pesach night in the Shul, together with the other Hallels, he adds on, O mitzvah min amukhar. He says, somehow or another, this Hallel Pesach night in the shul is different. It's a mitzvah min amuchar. What does it mean it's a mitzvah min amuchar? There's something very special about it. It's different. In other words, the truth is, if someone only says Hallel the Seder, you know, he can go ahead and he can be Yotzei the Hallel. He's Yotzei. But if you want to be Mekai, mitzvah min amuchar, to have the best Persumei Nisa, and we know Pesach night is also, there's an inner Persumei Nisa, the best way to do it is to also do it in the shul. And that's why he says, Likros is a Hallel. He says, I'm sorry, he says, Vishnei Leos. That's why he says, Ulavarach Aleihem, Ula Omram B'ni'ima. Not Likros Sam B'ni'ima, La Omram. What does La Omram mean? In other words, it's done B'derech Shira. What does it mean, Derech Shira? It's true. It's not the Zman HaNes, the time of the miracle. But the reason why it's being done because it's similar to the Hallel we say at the Seder night. It's similar to the Hallel we're going to say this man and ace. And the reason we do it is in order to come together and to have much more Persumei Nisa. And that's why the Masechta Sofrim adds the words, L'kayim ha-shenemar and Rom mashmo yachdav. The reason why you say Hallel on the shoulders, for that reason to go ahead and have an ability that everyone together can say Hallel together. We'll come back to that point soon. So I believe that that really explains the Masechta Sofrim according to the Bir HaGra. The point of the Masechta Sofrim, saying Hallel, Seder and Pesach night and Shul, is in order to have a Persumei Nisa with the whole Tzibur, to have a Persumei Nisa with the whole community. Last year, when the whole Shaila came up, whether you should say Hallel B'Yechidus or not, at that time, Rav Shechter from Yeshiva University wrote a tshuva, and he spoke about this idea, and he said that if you have, let's say, for example, a very big Seder, 10 adult men, and therefore you want to go ahead and you want to daven and hove at the same time. See, he felt that it's not correct to go ahead and to say Hallel. It's not correct to go ahead and say Hallel at home when you're davening with everyone who's going to be the Seder anyways, because the whole point of saying Hallel during the tefillah is in order for people to join together of other groups and to say Hallel together. So I actually sent him a tshuva this year. If you're going to have a street minion, a parking lot minion with a few houses together, he says, that's fine. Why is that fine? Because the point of the Hallel during tefillah is for people to come together from different groups to have a more public Persumei Nisa. I actually asked him if it's better to daven and shul, even so. And he said, of course it's better to daven and shul because Yerushalmi says, Dirishu Hashem b'yimatzu, you seek out Hashem when he's found. And where is he found? He's found in shul. So there's no shaila is better to daven and shul. But he says, the idea of saying Hallel Pesach night during davening is to come together, come together with the other tzibur. And therefore, whoever is able to come to shul to say halal, they're mekayim, a mitzvah min hamufchar, saying halal together, everybody, and they're mekayim rama shmo yachta. Now, I would just add that, I would just go ahead and add, and it's a similar halal to the Seder. So the question is, but if it's because of Pursume Nisa, so the question is, why do we go ahead and do the Sefta add in the idea that and some Rishonim that they made the halal because there were people didn't know how to say halal? So again, you could say it's a machlokes. However, I heard from my father, not related to this. Whenever Chazal made a takana, you shouldn't think that, you know, people sometimes think like, why did Chazal make this takana? Why did Chazal make that takana? Chazal did not sit in a room and try to make things difficult for Klal Yisrael. But Chazal made a takana. So my father explained that I heard this many times from throughout my years in the shir. There was always a how and a why. In other words, why did they make takana? What was the reason? And how? How does it work? In a takanas chazal is not magic. Chazal had a whole process. The Be'er Hagola, the Maral has a whole sefer explaining how many of takanas chazal can actually be found in Pshuto Shel Mikra. There's a whole process how it worked. As when we're learning Masechta Shabbos and we learned the first half of Parakira and then the second half of Parakira is about Muksa. We asked my father, the boys in the shir, maybe he'll teach Hilchos Muksa, the second half about Muksa, so there's a Muksa. And he refused. He says, because when you teach Takanas Chazal, and Muksa is all Takanas, there are two, he says, I have to sit and explain the hows and the whys. I want to cover ground. So we went to Perek HaBona and Perek HaOreg and the other parakim later on in the Masechta. But it could be that maybe in regard to this Takana also, there was a how and a why. In other words, why did Chazal make this takana to say halal in the shul? They made a takana because they wanted to help people who weren't able to say halal at the Seder. How does it work? They made it a Pursume Nisa. The question is, make it a Pursume Nisa. We have Pursume Nisa. But the idea is you want to make it a Pursume Nisa, which is better than a Pursume Nisa you have in the house. So even if you hold, you can say halal b'yachidus. But again, as I said, I did not say, and that's certainly the psak of many poskim. However, the point of saying Hallel Pesach night, the original takana, it seems, especially from the Masechtas Ketanis, the Masechtas Sofrim, is in order that everyone should join together. And you realize that the point of saying Hallel is to realize that every single Jew is important in praising HaKadosh Baruch, coming out and praising HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore, that's the idea of Ne'ima, because Ne'ima, saying it pleasantly, is the Ram Mashmo Yorma Shem Yachtav. That's the point, to come together and to recognize that idea. And I would just say that the point is to come together and to say how together, and you know, to be as one nation. At, you know, at the bottom of the Daf Makoros. So I actually have here source number 14 and 15. The Rashba seems to say the same idea, that it's in order to be motzi, those who don't know. And the Rashba actually feels that the Ikar Kriya and the Ramban is in the Shul, that's why I make a bracha. He doesn't say you can say B'yachidus. In source number 15, the Ritva holds that you can say a B'yachidus. However, he says it's mitzvah vasara, because of Rabban Hadras Melech. But according to, it seems, as I said, the Gra and the way he explains himself to Sofrim, in my understanding and others, is that it's a mitzvah to say it together of other people and to say it with more people that are present to say it, because you have to come together. So I'd just like to finish off. There's a Sefer, source number 16, it's called the Sefer Melamed HaTalmidim. Who was the Melamed HaTalmidim written by? So it was written by someone who lived around the 12th century, Rabbi Yaakov ben Rav Abba Mariantal, who lived in Provence. What was he famous for? He was famous for who his Rebbe was. Who was Rebbe? His Rebbe was his father-in-law, Shmuel ibn Tivan, the one who translated the Rambam and Maror Nebuchim. The truth is, you really haven't. He definitely felt you can learn philosophy. It's not a sefer we usually are familiar with, but just to know that he's quoted by the Or Chaim, the Kolbo, the Meres HaMaor, the Avudram, Sivar that we are familiar with. So in Parshas Emor, the Melamed HaTalmidim, he says that it's important that all all sections of the city come together to bless the Kaddish Baruch Hu. And he says, and that's what we say in the Halukas. Halukas Shem Hashem, Halduat Abde Hashem, Shalom Beis Hashem, those stand the Beis HaMikdash, Chatzot Beis HaKeinu, right? And the Halukas is basically it hints to all the Jews. And Halu Hashem Hashem is the Levim, he points out. Halu Abde Hashem, that's the Kohanim that are involved in Avoda. And those who are Omen Beis Hashem hints to those who are the Anshei Maimed, the ones who are davening. There was a shift of Yisraelim every week who would take off time from everything they were doing to daven that the korbanot should be accepted, and then there's b'chatzos be'lekeinu. Those are people who were in the shuls who were davening, and he said, and now that we have now that unfortunately we have no Beis HaMikdash, he says we have to realize that still that every single person is important. And that's the idea of this Mizmor Tehillim, that every single Jew is important. And if you think about it, I think that that's the idea of the Seder night. That the Seder night, when we say Hallel and Shul, is, yes, saying Hallel in the house is beautiful. And that's the mitzvah. But it's a mitzvah and a mufkar to go to Shul and say it in Shul B'tzibur, that everyone in Shul together should say Hallel, no matter who they are, where they are, which family they're from. And by going to Shul, we in some way are Mekayim, that all of Klal Yisrael is saying Hallel together. So this Hallel recognizes the importance of every Jew and how the Kaddish Baruch Hu wants to hear the Hallel of every Jew. And that's the idea of Hallel Pesach night in Shul. As the title Shir said, a national declaration of gratitude. It's a national declaration to everyone together. What I say at the house, I sing, that's for my family. But when I go ahead and I do in shul, that's for all of Klal Yisrael to be together. And maybe it's so important that before we sit down to the table with our family, we have to realize how important it is for all of Klal Yisrael to be together, which is real introduction to the Haggadah, that really everyone is together, and Am Yisrael was liberated together from Mitzrayim. And if we recognize that we're all together, as we know, that will definitely bring the Geula. I just want to finish off. I thank everyone for joining. I just want to finish off that started this year. I spoke about my grandfather-in-law, Binyamin Chaim Moshe Yehuda Levi, whose yahrzeit is tonight in Eretz Yisrael, and Chutz La'aretz will be in a few hours, we talk about all Klal Yisrael being together. There are a lot of things I could say, but one of the most amazing things I would say about, Zeid Yerushalayim, as we used to call him here, was that no matter who it was, somehow or another, he connected with everyone. Someone was 90 years old, 100 years old, you know, even the smallest babies. I still remember, you know, when one of my children was, I don't know, she was like 2 and a half, maybe 2. And we were in Yerushalayim and we stopped at the Tamir, dropped something off. And, you know, she was sleeping in the car seat. And my wife says to me, shh, don't wake her up, right? And she ran in to bring something to Zeid Yerushalayim, and she ran out. And as we're pulling up, my daughter wakes up and she sees we're at the Tamir. And she starts to cry. And my wife turns to me and says to me, did you ever see him like that? Like even a 2 and a half year old. But that's just the way he was, because he realized that every single Jew, no matter where they're holding in life, where they are together, are important, and they're all over the Hashem. And I think that when we come to Shul on Pesach night to say Hallel, to realize also that whether it's 10 people in the Shul, or it's 20 or 100, or 500, if you daven, I don't know, in some very big shul, which is following all the regulations, of course, okay, with their masks on, every single Jew is important wherever they stand to praise our Kaddish Baruch Hu. It's mitzvah and ochre to really have that, to Mekayim, the idea of Uram Mashmo Yachtav. Thank you all for joining in. Everyone should have a Kachra Sameach, and I hope we should all meet, Mirtz Hashem. It's not, we still have a possibility of meeting by the Beis HaMikdash to be Machad the Korban Pesach on Shabbos. And I would just mention that actually one of the reasons, you know, the Korban Pesach is really a Korban Yochid. However, it takes on a status of a Korban Tzibur is actually Docha Shabbos on Shabbos. So we should all meet as a Tzibur by the Harabayas, by Yerushalayim, by the Beis HaMikdash
in order to celebrate and say halal together, in really the best way possible, a chag kasher v'sameach to everyone. Okay, I'm just gonna turn the recording off, and then I'm going to.